be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. And from that time on and forever and ever, this is the prophet Isaiah proclaiming hope over the people of God. And he finishes this section of the prophecy with these words: "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We're about to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, the one who is coming, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, everlasting God. We're about to celebrate the hope that this baby is going to bring into the world. Isaiah is talking about Christmas. And the French call this moment Noel. Birth, Christmas. We've been going through this season called Advent. You may be seated, by the way. Been going through this season called Advent, which is a season that believers all around the world reflect and participate in. And we've been joining with them here at Five Stones through a tradition called the Advent wreath. And it's here, it's a wreath, it's round, it's evergreen, and it's symbolism of eternal life, this never-ending life that this baby is coming to make a way for us to have. And along the way in this season of Advent, we talk about a few themes. And the first theme that we talked about is the one I mentioned earlier that we're looking at tonight, and that is hope. And as we go through and went through every week, we light another candle, signifying the light coming into the darkness. So hope, and then peace, this idea of wholeness, nothing broken, nothing missing. Then we talked about joy. Joy we look at as the atmosphere of heaven. It's this fullness of rejoicing. It's beyond happiness. There's a power to it that is energizing and thrilling, joy. And then the reason the baby came, love. This powerful love. The power, most powerful force in all of the universe, in my opinion. Able to restore and renew, to put things back the way they're supposed to be. And then tonight, we light this candle, the Christ candle, symbolic of our hope being realized. The prophet told about this night. Those living in darkness, for those living in darkness, a great light has come. For the rest of this evening, as we take this journey through the story of Jesus coming, we're going to do so in the Gospel of Luke. You're going to hear some verses. You're going to sing some familiar songs as we go along. But we pray for you. We've been praying for you that your hearts would be prepared to receive this light again this Christmas. Would you begin to tell the story?
Luke 2:1-5. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went there with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. Would you stand as we sing "A Little Town of Bethlehem" together?
While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Some strange old language, right, to describe the most incredible scene that maybe anyone's ever like taken in before. And it's one of my favorite parts of this Christmas story. And we're going to pick up with the angels coming now as we continue in Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 8. And this story of hope, this kind of crazy, amazing, ridiculous story of God coming continues here like this. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set watches over their sheep, and suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed all around them. And they were terrified. I could identify with that. The angel, though, said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. And this is what you're to look for: a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." There's a whole bunch of this story that's like wacky and crazy and dramatic and weird. Like, the Savior and Master, you're going to find him. He's come as a baby and he's lying in a manger. But there's so many profound things that are happening here as the angel comes and begins to tell the news. A Savior is born. A Messiah and Master. The chosen one, the rescuer, has been born. The one that Isaiah talked about all those years ago. The light that we've been hoping for. He's come. He's born. And he was born in the town of David, Bethlehem. And this is the one time a year that I get to like really geek out here. This name, Bethlehem, the name of this town, means house of bread. House of bread. This cool thing about Jesus later on, he talks about himself. He talks about himself as being the bread of life, the sustainer of life, right? And then later on, the last night that he had with his disciples, his followers, they're having this last supper the night before he goes to the cross and sort of completes this work of rescue, right? He opens the door for new life, for a new way of living. And in that meal that we talk about, he holds up the piece of bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you." He was born in the house of bread. And I think that's really cool. Like, every time I come to Christmas, I grab a hold of that detail. I'm like, man, once again, Jesus is just like super cool. He's like laying out all these details, these like breadcrumbs. Like, for us to follow, to catch this theme, right, of his life. This theme that Isaiah talked about, this theme that the angel is now proclaiming is happening and has happened. Go and look for him as a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. And at once, the angel, this messenger, right, that was surrounded by a blaze of God's glory, at once that angel was joined by a huge choir of angels. And they were singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. This is what the choir was singing, this song. Who knows how long they practiced. But they came on this night that we celebrate. They came and they sang this song. Glory to God and peace to everyone. As I mentioned earlier, this idea of peace, it's got to be the greatest gift that any of us could possibly receive. This idea of peace where nothing is broken. This idea where nothing is missing. It's more than just the absence of conflict. It's like the elimination of the need for conflict. Peace. Wholeness. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Hey, let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. And they left running, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing for them. And they told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. And all who heard the shepherds were impressed, the scriptures tell us. The story was making an impact. The people that had been living in darkness and despair were finally hearing the song that they'd been longing for. That their rescue has come. That the broken parts of their lives were about to be restored. That the life, the intimacy, the enjoyment that had been robbed from them by sin and all of the stuff that goes along with it was finally about to be restored. Peace. So the shepherds get up and they start running and they find this out, and everyone who hears them, it says, was impressed by them. Someone asked me recently, they were reading through this story, and they said, "Now, do you think that these shepherds just really got up and like left all of the sheep out in the neighborhood, like out in the countryside surrounding the town? Like this was their job, right? The shepherds were supposed to like lay down their life for their sheep. This was a significant part of the economy of the region, right? And this was their job. These sheep were money to them. And they asked me, do you think they just got up and ran, leaving all those sheep? And we don't have those details anywhere that I know of. And so my honest answer was, I have no clue. But as I left them and I started to think about it, and I reread this text, they got up and they left. They ran to see if what the angels had said was true. And I thought, man, if I was there, I'd probably get up and run. If I was one of these people that were waiting, for wholeness and restoration and renewal, for peace, if I was one of these people that was waiting for all of the pain to stop, if I was one of these people that had been told that a Messiah would come someday, and here I see God's glory laid out in front of me, this huge choir of angels singing, I'd probably get up and run. And as I thought about it a little bit more, I thought, boy, it's interesting. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is having a conversation and with a Pharisee, with an authority in the law of the day. And he's having this conversation, and he talks about how if you were a shepherd that had 100 sheep and one of them went missing, wouldn't you leave the 99 and go find the one? Sort of the moral of the story, right? The hope and comfort that we take from that is that, like, boy, like we were the one. We could be the one. Maybe we're the one, right? And wouldn't we want our chosen rescuer to come and find us if we were lost? And there's this parallel, right? The shepherds get up and they go and they run to find a baby. And later on, Jesus talks about a story about a shepherd that would leave everything, all of that money on the hill and go running to find the one. And so I think maybe I have an answer for this person now. I think maybe they did leave the sheep. And in their excitement, they went to find the one. They went to see if he was the one. If all of these years and all of these stories and all of this family culture that they had embedded in their lives, if this was finally true, that this baby had come. And I think for you and for me, the message of Christmas is that, isn't it? That God himself would come. Right? It's the hope that we talk about, right? That there is a rescuer, right? Emmanuel, God with us, that he would come, that he would find us, no matter how lost we are, that he would come and he would begin to bind and repair and comfort no matter how broken we are. Isn't that our hope? Isn't that why we gather in a place like this? On a night like this? It's the good news that God has come, that we have her rescuer. His name is Jesus, which means God saves. His name is Wonderful Counselor. His name is Almighty God. His name is Prince of Peace. He is the one that we celebrate coming tonight. It's such good news. The story continues. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within her heart. And the shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. And it turned out exactly the way that they were told. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And we're going to invest in another tradition together. This is the one where you're going to make use of those candles that you have with you. But tonight, as we talk about this light coming into the world, I want you to think about these shepherds and the hope that they felt. I want you to think about these shepherds and the excitement that they felt when they got up and ran to see if it was real. And I want to say to you tonight that if in your life you are still wondering if it's real, then I want you to consider not just the symbolism of these candles, but I want you to look around at the people in this room. I want you to think about the people that you know that have run after the good news. And I want you to think about their lives. I want you to think about the ways you've seen God putting them back together. I want you to think about like the thrill and the excitement of seeing maybe healing, not just in their bodies, but in their relationships. Nothing broken, nothing missing. He's the Prince of Peace. And if that's you, we're so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here to hear this story again. And as you come forward, and we invite you to do so and take the light. I just want you to consider what that means for you to accept the light coming into your darkness. What it means to say yes to the Prince of Peace. This good news that we have, that God Himself has come to rescue us and put us back together. And if you're in this room tonight and you know the joy, you know the joy of knowing that God, knowing your rescuer, of experiencing him putting you back together. As you come forward tonight with your candle, I invite you again, not just to think about the symbolism of it. We want you to have another opportunity to say yes to the light. You hold it in your hand. You carry with you back to your seat. It's the light that the prophet talked about. You hold it in your hand. That you and I would be the ones to join the choir of angels for all the rest of our brothers and sisters waiting to hear the good news and the hope. And that's the story, Christmas. And so as they sing a song over us here in just a moment, I want you to take your candle and come down the center aisle, and then so that no one turns into a really large example of the light of Christ by becoming inflamed, kind of go out around the outside and come into your seats and then hold them there, and we will sing a few more songs together, traditional songs that you probably know, songs that bring you comfort, songs that continue to tell the story. But as you hold that light in your hand, I just ask you to consider what it means to you. Thank you.